You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
All right, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. With me today is Andrew Greif from The Oregonian. He's the Ducks beat writer. He's going to give us some insight into what to expect this coming Saturday. To get started, I think the hottest topic right now is how both coaches are playing a nice game of chess with their quarterback situation. I mean, what do you think of the whole coaches keeping everything so close to the vest these days?
I mean, at Oregon, it's pretty common. They don't talk about injuries, and they haven't for several years. That's their policy. So it's kind of business as usual at Oregon. I think in the case of this week, most people expect Vernon Adams to play if he can bear the pain. He, isn't a perfect player, but he's a very good playmaker, and I think he's certainly the best playmaker Oregon has at center right now. And so it would seem prudent to put that guy out there if he is indeed healthy enough to go. So, I don't think a whole lot of people really expect him to go away. So in that case, kind of not really talking about it is a little frustrating, but, this is gamesmanship.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. With the difference between Lockie and Adams, I mean, is there that big of a drop-off between the quarterbacks?
Sometimes it's hard to kind of parse out what the skill level of the quarterback is and what they're really asking that quarterback to do. For example, with Adams, they're very comfortable taking down those shots with him when his finger has been healthy. With Lockie, they really, the capability is probably there, but they didn't let him really do that, unleash that against Georgia State last week. So I do think there's a drop-off. How big it is, sometimes I think you get shrouded by the playmaking and the play calling. But I do think that, Adams represents kind of the best option.
Okay. I mean, as explosive as Oregon's offense is, it seems like the focus is going to be Royce Freeman, though, in the rushing game. I mean, do you think that's true? And two, how do you think the youth could slow Freeman down if that's possible?
Well, I think that they've got a pretty good practice tool by going against Devontae Booker. The style of running maybe isn't 100% a carbon copy, but just how big the guy is, that's pretty similar, just by their frame. And so I think they should have a pretty good idea that you can't arm tackle Royce Freeman. He's very, very physical, just a big guy, about 6 feet, 230 pounds. So they know if they've gone against guys like Devontae Booker, they cannot let him just kind of run through arm tackles. He's a huge workhorse, though. He has about 125 yards a game. I think he definitely got better this season. You can already tell. Last year, he was tentative as a freshman through the first four or five games. And he's really found his comfort zone already. I mean, he had 101 yards at the half last week and didn't even look like he was breaking a sweat.
Wow. I mean, you mentioned Devontae Booker. Which of the two do you think is the better back in this game?
Oregon's rush defense hasn't been terrific. They have a very good defensive line and a very veteran linebacker core, but missed tackles really opened up running lanes and led to some big touchdowns against Michigan State and some big plays. So, I think that Freeman will have the better game. I think that Utah's defensive front, while talented, they're not getting that same kind of pressure they did in previous season. Last year they had 55 sacks. I want to say they have one this year. And so I do think that Freeman might be able to exploit that a little more so than Booker. But, I still think Booker's going to get his average of 115 yards. And I think he's going to probably catch four or five balls out of the backfield. It could be a dead heat.
Yeah, no, I think that would be one of the best things to watch in this game will be two of the better Pac-12 running backs going at it. You brought up Utah's defense. I mean, they're a good rush defense, a little bit weaker on the pass defense. The Oregon defense, equally, it has been pretty bad with the pass defense. How concerned do you think Oregon should be in the possibility of Utah exploiting that?
Very concerned. They they haven't been able to blitz as often because they can't really leave those guys alone back there in the defensive secondary. So I think it's a big concern for sure. You have some worries if you're Oregon about can these guys go man on man against Utah receivers who are tall guys, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". So I feel like we keep talking about it week in and week out, but it really is deserved. I mean, it's not all on the corners and secondary and safeties, but it's a valid concern that just kind of keeps lingering.
So you think it's an overall issue with the defense in general? It's not just the secondary?
Yeah, not just the secondary, because there are a lot of times where there'll be, I shouldn't say a lot of times, but there have been instances where the short passes that conceivably should be stopped at, you know, the 4 or 5 yard range, guys are missing tackles, and it's really getting through into the last layer of defense for the defense. And so I think that's obviously a problem that involves, you know, linebackers not running the ball, and just linemen not running the ball, as well as corners and safeties. I was having some trouble too.
All right, well, I mean, along those same lines, I mean, it looks like this game is going to be Utah's strength, their defense, versus Oregon's strength, their offense. I mean, what are your overall expectations of the game, Matt, in those realms?
Obviously, it all hinges on whether Vernon Adams can play, but I do think that Oregon's running game, you know, 9th best in the country, 300 yards per, that will set up Oregon. If they can get even close to that, that will set up Oregon well, regardless of who's playing quarterback. Because, you know, as much talk as Mariota's arm got last year, and Vernon Adams' deep shot ability, everything is predicated off the offense. And so what I think is that Oregon can get that going. I think that they have too many weapons for a defense to really stop between. They go about 3 deep at running back. They have about 9 guys on offensive line who shuffle in. And receiver, they go about 8 deep. So I just think that eventually Oregon's depth gets to people and just wears them down to the point that I think we saw that last year, right, in Salt Lake City. Utah was very game early on, and it's just that second half, it spread out into a 51-point game.
Yeah, that game was really decided in the fourth quarter in a very dramatic fashion, actually. Well, I mean, one of the things Utah always is touting is the fact that they have good special teams. How big of a factor do you think that will be to keeping Utah in this game, if not winning it?
It could be huge. You know, Mark Helfrich said this week that he loves watching Utah's special teams, except when he has to play them. And it's, you know, from Tom Hackett to Andy Phillips to Corey Butler-Byrd, Britton Covey, I mean, everybody out there is really good. And so that's absolutely a huge concern for Oregon, who has very good special teams, too. And they haven't allowed a punt return since 2007 for a touchdown, kick return since 2006 for a touchdown. They have, I think, the most non-offensive touchdowns in the country since 2010. So, you know, they're very good at creating points where others really don't very often. But Utah, I mean, they're dangerous, 100%. And I think that it's not just the points that could be a decider here. It's a guy like Tom Hackett, you know, pinning Oregon deep on a long drive. I don't care who you are. That's really tough to get out of.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of like the interesting X factor of this game. The last time I looked at the betting lines, it looked like Oregon was a 14-point favorite. Do you think that's a little overblown, or would you take that bet?
You know, I would take that bet. I picked Oregon to win by about 11 to 14 points. I actually hadn't seen that line yet. Some of the places I looked at haven't included a line for this game, but I think that's fair. I think that, again, the final score, if Oregon wins like I predict and I think most people do, I don't think it's going to be really indicative of how tough the game is going to be. I think that it's going to be a really tough one. But Oregon, as Oregon does, usually seems to pull away and kind of turn. If someone who hasn't watched the game, they'll think it's more lopsided than it really has been.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, do you have a prediction for a score? Or what are you rolling with?
For the final score, I've got Oregon 35 and Utah 24.
Okay. Well, I mean, based on that, people should be picking Utah to cover. Well, I mean, ultimately, that's all the questions I had for you today. The one question I do want to finish up with is, what is your favorite thing for lunch?
Just in general?
Yeah, just in general. I mean, we call the show the Torn by Sports Lunch Break, so I want to finish up with find out what you like to do for lunch.
You know, I think that it's hard to beat a good Cuban sandwich for me. Kind of like a little spiciness to it. I was in Tampa a couple weeks ago to cover Marcus Mariota's first game as an NFL pro, and the next day I got an awesome Cuban sandwich, and I think it's one of my favorites.
All right, awesome. All right, I mean, once again, Andrew, thanks for coming on. Could you give our listeners the places that they can find your content covering Oregon real quick?
Yeah, I'm at the Oregonian is OregonLive.com/Ducks. And then on Twitter, I'm at Andrew Greif, GREIF.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.